Good evening.
What a blessing it is to be able to be here, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to come and preach to you this evening. And I just would like you to turn your Bibles to 2 Peter 1. Just put your finger in there, and you know what? We're talking about self-control, and so I went to the internet and I looked up some headline news, right, to see how bad the world is. And I found a whole bunch of bad news for you to show you how bad the world is out of control. So here was some top headlines in today's paper and internet. One was, "Beware of 7 money scams." Man, don't you hate them? They have everything from ATM skimming to bogus pizza leaflets to phishing, not the kind where you cast the reel, phishing, where they try to get your personal information. Stranded Facebook friends. How many of you have Facebook accounts? Let me see how many older people have Facebook accounts. All right. Don't go picking up your stranded friends unless you're positive, you know, they're stranded. So work at home schemes, bad checks, and imposter scams. This one made me upset. 26-dollar hot dog. That's out of control. $26 hot dog. How about boy arrested for kick to the face, right? And you're sitting there and they're watching this soccer game and this kid just, you know, the kid fell down and the kid intentionally just comes and kicks him right in the face. Out of control. How about this? You're driving down the road and deadly debris scares crew. On Obamacare. You got that one? You got that one? Robert, am I on? Okay, I got orange up here. What's that mean? You don't know. Okay. What does red mean? All right. Is that better? Evidently, I don't know what I'm talking about. All right. So, big decisions on Obamacare, right? Last one, maybe you guys will get all riled up about this one. Highest gas prices in March. Anybody feel like the gas prices are out of control? You know, and I sit there and say, it seems like in so many different ways, the world is out of control. And you know what? There's some reality to that. It is. It is out of control. But the question is, why is it out of control? Well, I believe Peter gives us an understanding for why the world, whether it's the non-Christian or the Christian, is out of control. Open your Bibles, if you haven't already, to 2 Peter 1, 5 to 7. And we're just going to read these verses together as soon as I get there. I'm sorry. 2 Peter 1, 5 to 7 says this, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love." And you know what? It's right there. You know, we're called to be diligent or strive to supply and furnish our faith. And so we have to give ourselves to faith. But you know what? We do not give ourselves faith. I'm always constantly reminded about Hebrews 12:2, where he says, "Looking unto Jesus, who is what? The author and finisher of our faith." We're supposed to take our faith and add to it. We're supposed to supply it and furnish it. Romans 12:3 says this, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God dealt to each one a measure of faith." It comes directly from God. And then Ephesians 2:8 says, "What? For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift." Right? There it is, right there again. It's not based upon our what we're doing and, okay, we receive faith or we've done something right and it's faith. It's, hey, you know what? We've been given faith by God, and then He asks us to take that faith and to add to virtue. He wants to give us excellence. You know what? It's a particular moral excellence. And you know what? To your virtue knowledge. We're supposed to add that understanding, that general knowledge of Christianity. Here's the whole point. I don't want to lose you in a bunch of information. So if you grab this line, make sure you grab it. Here it is. You will never control your self-control without three key characteristics. Did you get that? You'll never have self-control without three key characteristics. You know what those are? Faith, virtue, and knowledge. Okay? Why do I say that? Whether it's the Christian world or it's not the Christian world. Okay? Whether you're Christian or non-Christian, why do we have so much chaos? Because people believe different things, and because of their belief, they act out something differently. I'm always thinking about these different, you know, countries. When you go over and you go over into Iran and Iraq, and you see these bombers that just kill themselves. And why do they do that? Because they have a faith and belief that says, hey, if I do this, I'm going to receive this, so it's no big deal. I'm going to kill myself so I can have those 1,000 virgins into this heaven. Right? And it leads them to action. You know what? And it's not only a faith and believing, but it's a virtue. It's a moral excellence. It's where you sit there and you're changed from the inside out. And you sit there and say, you know what? My heart has changed. I no longer want to serve myself. I want to serve Christ, and therefore I want to serve Christ. What do I need to do now? And it comes into that natural point of knowledge. It signifies that this Christian wants to come along, or this non-Christian, they have a different thinking, a different way of believing. And so through that, it leads to all different types of problems, whether it's Christian or non-Christian. Think about your own Christian life. When you first came to the Lord, what was the thing you sat there and said? You said, wow, I feel totally different. You had this emotion. You had this feeling. You sat there and said, I don't know quite what has gone on, but something different has happened in my life, and it's changed me like in a way I've never been changed before. And what do you say after that? What do I need to do now? You go to your Christian friend or you go to a pastor and you say, what do I need to do now? And he says, you need knowledge. Okay? And then what happens? You get into the Word. You can get puffed up. You know, with knowledge that comes, and you get that pride, and you say, hey, you know what? And somebody naturally comes to you and says, you need to control yourself. You need to make sure that you understand that. And so, my object tonight is very simple. I want to help you understand self-control. I want you to evaluate whether you have self-control. And I want to give you a guide on how to work on self-control. And so, did everybody get one of those little handouts? And Lord willing, that handout will keep you awake. All right? I sit there and just say, hey, you know what? It's not easy going all day and then to come in here and listen to Ryan Adcock. All right? And so sometimes you need something. I do on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, whenever it is. I sit there and I try to take notes. And I want to give you guys that opportunity too. So make sure that you use the space, not the spade. You know, use the space below. And so, and take those notes. So let's define self-control. Defining self-control. Let's give you a simple definition. Self-control is this: the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. You know, there's a lot of different words, and the hard thing is, I don't know how many of you know this, but when you go back to the Greek word, this word is only used 4 times. 2 times of those are in 2 Peter. So I sit there and I go, oh, how much am I going to talk about self-control? Because even when I go to look for self-control, it's not talked a lot about in the Bible. Those are like some of the hardest topics to hit. But really, within self-control and in Christianity, there's a lot of different things that show self-control in the Bible. Whether it's, you know, they use the words temperance or moderation, you know, and so patience. Okay, so you sit there and you see all these different umbrella words that kind of say, yes, if you have self-control in your life, you're going to see these things coming out. But the problem is, with that definition right there of self-control, I think it is lacking. I think it's a very secular way to define self-control. And literally, I think you need a Christian's definition of self-control. Okay, and it needs to go deeper. And so what do we say? I like what an author once said. To gain self-control, give God control. All right? To gain self-control, give God control. It goes deeper than just making a list of areas that you need to control. Okay? Because that's what I see a lot of people do. Well, just tell me what I need to do to be self-controlled. Christianity, self-control does not work that way. It's not just a built list where you come in and you say, hey, you know what? I just need to be nice to my wife when I come home, right? Or I need to make my bed every morning. That shows that I have self-control. In fact, it's the opposite. I think if you're looking at a Christian self-control, you're going to see that it takes a God-given faith, it's going to take a God-given desire to change, and it takes God-given knowledge. And you come back to those first three qualities that all these men have come back and preached on and said, if you don't really get these, I know you will not have self-control if you don't have faith, if God hasn't changed you, if you don't have the desire to change, and you don't have the knowledge to change. You will never have self-control in your life. I want to give you some biblical examples of self-control. Joseph being tempted by Potiphar's wife. See, it goes deeper than him just saying, I want to stay pure. You know, I want to self-control. I want to live a pure life. You ever heard a teenager say that? I just want to be pure. But listen to what Joseph says. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, casting longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no greater in the house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. But you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, his self-control came much deeper than him just coming along and saying, I want to be this type of person. He sat there and said, you know what? This is seen as wickedness. It comes from faith, okay? It comes from a changed heart. And then he comes back and he says, I have the knowledge to know that this is wicked. Therefore, I cannot do this. And it led to self-control. Jesus being led in the wilderness, Luke 4:4 and 8 and 12, just wanted to bring up his answers here. Because Jesus answered him saying, it is written, right? Satan comes to him and says, hey, can you turn these rocks into bread? Okay? Man shall not live by bread alone. But what? But every word of God. He sits there again and says, it comes back to faith, it comes back to virtue, it comes back to knowledge. I understand this. And because of that, whether I'm 40 days without food, it is not controlling me. Right? He says, and Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Right? Being tempted the third time, he comes in and he says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Do you understand that self-control all comes back to your relationship? Your lack of self-control. I remember when I used to work for Papa John's, and everybody in there cursed like a sailor. And I would look at these guys and I would say, do you understand why you curse so much? And they'd go, yeah, Ryan, tell me why I curse so much. I said, it shows another area that you lack control of. You see, I didn't curse at Papa John's because I sat there and I said, you know what, I knew some Scripture. I didn't know a lot of Scripture, but I said, you know what, I know God does not want me to talk this way. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And I sat there and said, because I know that, and because I call myself a Christian, and I know I'm saved, I am going to control what I say. And it led to me being an example for those men. There's several other examples we could talk about tonight. David did not kill Saul. He had several opportunities in which to do that. And why did he not do that? Look, It goes back to his relationship with God. He says, the Lord would not want me to do this to his anointed. Okay? Paul rejoicing in his change. Why? Why could he have such an awesome response that we sit there and go, that is amazing? It's because Paul had a relationship with our great God that he could look at his persecutions and his chains and say, I'm here for a reason. And it's not because I did something wrong. It's because I did something right so I can sing to the Lord. Forgave. You know, how about Christ forgiving those who crucified and mocked him? It's specifically talked about in 1 Peter 2, 19 through 25. So let me help you understand. I want to give you three things that biblical self-control is not, and three things that it is. Each one is contained within one sentence. Okay? Biblical self-control is not about self, but about God glorification. I struggle with the word self-control. I can almost see why King James used the word temperance. It's very easy when you look at self-control to say, I need to control myself. What do I need to do? It's about me. And I would sit there and say, no. It's not about you. It's about God glorification. In fact, what I would tell you is that most of the time we want self-control for what I would say is shallow reasons. Shallow reasons. What do I mean by that? We see we have problems, right? We want to get rid of something because we don't like the way it looks, you know? We yell at our kids in front of somebody, and then the next thing we do is we sit there and go, oh, I need to control what I say around people because that didn't look very, very nice. We want life to be easier, right? I want to be able to control things. I want to be able to control myself so that, you know, my job is better, right? We want to be a good example. You know, we sit there and we see younger people looking at us, teenagers, and we say, I want to be a good example for them. And when they see me mess up, that's not cool. I like what Donald Whitney said. He said, our bodies are inclined to ease, pleasure, gluttony, and sloth. Unless we practice self-control, our bodies tend to serve evil more than God. We must carefully discipline ourselves in how we walk in this world, else we will conform more to its ways rather than to the ways of Christ. It's very easy to go down that road. But you know what? When self-control brings about God glorification, you'll see what? I guarantee you, any non-Christian who comes to faith in Christ, they will see their problems diminish. Okay? I never tell the non-Christian or the Christian that their problems will go away. Because is that true? Your problems will never go away. Okay? You'll still have struggles. You'll still have battles. You'll still have trials. Things can still be very difficult. But you know what? A lot of the foolish things that you're doing in life, when the Lord shows you how to control yourself and you give that over to the Lord and you follow Him, a lot of your problems will diminish. They will get smaller, right? You won't be this wave, you know, up and down all the time. You might have a little bit of a ripple effect there, but Lord willing, is as you mature, that goes away. Life, to an extent, will even have a lighter load. You'll sit there and say, hey, you know what? Now that I have self-control, you know what? The load is easier, right? I always think about that with Jesus Christ because He says, take my yoke upon you, right? For my, what is it again? Yeah, your yoke is easy and the burden is light. And I hear a lot of Christians and they go, it don't feel light. It's horrible. This Christian life is hard. And a lot of times I sit there and go, well, you're probably fighting the Lord a little bit on the yoke, right? He's in the left one or He's in the right one. You got your head in the other one and you're like, hey, let's go this way. And He's going, no, 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 no. And I'm going to teach you to go on the path. And so once we learn that self-control from Him, the load gets lighter. And then also you will be a good example. You know, when you have biblical self-control, people will look up to you. They will sit there and say, hey, you know what? I like the decisions He's making. He's making decisions that I don't normally see people do. And you'll be naturally lifted up. Okay? I like what Romans 14, 20 and 21 says. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. You know, one time I heard that a church split happened because they argued about how many pieces to cut the pie into. Do you believe it? It's not much different in Romans. There's a guy saying, hey, there's food offered to idols, you know, there's not, you know. Can we eat it? Can we not eat it? One guy's getting mad because he can't. One guy's getting mad because he says he can't. And next thing you know, is you sit there and say, hey, control yourself. You're destroying the work of God. He says right there, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or offended or is made weak. And so you sit there and say, I am going to control myself, not for my glorification, but for God glorification. Because I want the body to grow. I want it to increase. I like Romans 13, 14. He says, but do this, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. I like that. You come in, and how do you receive self-control? It isn't by you going out there, and I like the way some of my friends say this, by you pulling up your own bootstraps and saying, let's go and let's get it done. No, we do it differently. We go out there and we sit there and say, I'm going to put on Lord Jesus Christ today. It reminds me of, anybody ever heard of the armor of God? Right? Why do we put on the armor? Right? It's not for self-glorification, it's for God-glorification. We go and put on these different pieces so that we can go out and be prepared. Listen to what Job 31, I love his account in the fourth verse. Because you could look at this verse and say, see, I have made a covenant with my eyes. See, Pastor Ryan, we just got to make a promise with our eyes. It's about us doing something. And I would sit there and go, hey, you know what? Be careful, because he says this, why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he, meaning God, not see my ways and count all my steps? We sit there and we control ourselves because we come to this point in our relationship with God where he sits there and says, even if I'm in a dark room and I can sin, I know that God will see me and therefore I will control myself because, you know what? He's going to hold me accountable to that one day. See how your faith and your virtue and your knowledge all work together to bring you to a point of self-control? Let's move on to point number two. Biblical self-control is not quick. It is a battle for the Lord. Let me tell you something. If you think self-control is going to happen overnight, let me tell you something. It is a lifelong battle. How many? Raise your hand. If somebody's ever come up to you and said, you seem like a pretty patient person. Anybody ever said that to you? How many of you really, now raise your hand if you say, I really do feel like I'm a patient person. I sit there and I tell people, I'm like, oh, you don't know the way my blood was boiling when that happened. You know why? Because it's a lifelong battle. You know what? Self-control will have to happen day to day. The Christian life, remember this, is about growing. Remember what happens when you're responsible with a little. Some people, they look at this verse I'm going to read, Luke 19, 17. You guys know this one. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you are faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities, right? And I always put myself in that place and I go, woohoo! Yeah, more power, more authority, 10 cities, right? That's cool. And then I go, wait a minute, Now I'm responsible for 10 cities. And now I'm going to have to do more and be better controlled and understand, even be wiser in everything I do. And I'm going, oh, right? A lot of times we will want the power, but we won't want the responsibility. And I come along and say, hey, you know what? Self-control will never go away. It will never go away. You will always have this battle. And you know what? You should want it. Because if you're faithful in a little, guess what the Lord's going to do for you? He's going to up you some more. And then guess what He's going to do after that if you hold yourself responsible? He's going to up you some more. And you should sit there and you should get excited about that. You should sit there and say, hey, you know what? That's what I want happening in my life. I like what Thomas A. Kempis says. No conflict is as severe as he who labors to subdue himself. 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27 says, therefore I run to this, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Right? What if you walked into my office and I was sitting there punching the air? You ever seen somebody doing that? You see boxers doing that, right? Hey, what are you doing? I'm beating up the air. What would you look at me and say? You'd say, hey, bro, you're not very smart, are you? You know, you're not the sharpest tool in the shed. You're not going to beat the air. But you know what? Paul had the mentality. He says, I'm not out there punching the air. He goes, I'm doing this for a reason. I'm disciplining myself. I'm working on self-control. Why? Because I don't want to become disqualified. I don't want to make God look bad. I never want to stop fighting. The battle will never stop when it comes to self-control. You get that? Do you see that in that verse? How many of you guys know that verse in Romans where it talks about Paul and he says, I do those things that I don't want to do, you know, but I don't do those things I do want to do. You know, Galatians 5:16 says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You see what I'm saying? It's not this to-do list where you go out. It's a spiritual battle that you got to prepare for every day. People are going to want you to come and say, you know what? Isn't it about you? Isn't this about you? And you're going to have to look at people and say, no, it's not about me. It's about God glorification. And because it's about God glorification, I'm going to do things His way. And because I'm going to do things His way, I am going to be controlled. I love Luke 9:23 because he says, Jesus said this, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Right? Control yourself. Deny it. And take up his cross daily and follow me. That is self-control. How about the third point? Biblical self-control is not genetic. It's not genetic, but it's something which can be taught, learned, acquired, and practiced through faith. There's a lot of fill in the blanks there. Right? It's not genetic. You know what? I love that. Because some people honestly believe self-control is a genetic disposition. People will say things like this. They were born that way. You know, I would say that about my brother. I'm like, well, he got married at 19. And I'd sit there and say, the guy was like a 19-year-old in a 27-year-old body. I'm like, he was just naturally older. But really, God really matured my brother. He did things in him that he did not do in me. And you know what? He wasn't born that way. God made him that way. How about this excuse? They've always have had good self-control. It's just natural for them, right? Has anybody ever said this to you? It's easy for you, right? You had the right parents. You know, you don't have the struggles that I have. So it's easy for you to be self-controlled. How about this? You don't have my life. Right? All different types of reasons. Hebrews 5, 13 and 14 says this, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the words of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of what? Full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." They've went through the point where they've sat there and they said, you know what? I've been changed by God. I've been given the desire to live for Him. You know what? In my studies and living, I have learned to control myself to the point that I can come and I can help you to the point where I can say, yes, I know how to discern both good and evil. James 1, 6 through 8 tells us again, what is the double-minded man? Okay? He's not going to receive anything. Why? Because he is a doubter in his faith. He doesn't come knowing God. He doesn't come saying, hey, I want to be more like Him. I want to desire that. You know what? And what is he? He's way up and he's way down. He's out of control. You'll look at people and say, man, your life is spinning out of control. It's because of their faith. It's because of their virtue. It's because of their knowledge. And so, I want to come to a conclusion here. So how do you know whether you're biblically self-controlled? I gave you three questions just to ask yourself to know whether you're biblically self-controlled. Do you want to glorify God or yourself more? Don't, please, do not overlook that question lightly. This week, I challenge you, how many times do you look at your life and go, well, I want to do, and fill in the blank. And then go, let's switch that. Is that what God would want me to do? How would God want me to handle this situation? Do you find yourself battling daily for God to control you? I enjoyed what Matt said in his sermon. He said, pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And he had the whole example of the balloon being filled from the inside, and it affected him in all different types of ways. Are you battling daily for God to control you? Do you sit there and say, God, I want you to use me today. I want to show people that I'm controlled. I want to give them a lifestyle that is so rare that they look at me and go, wow, that's amazing. Why did you react that way? Or why did you say that? The last question, how much are you seeking biblical answers? How much are you seeking biblical answers? Really, when you have problems in your life, do you go back to the pat answers that you learned 20 years ago? Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with going back to those great biblical answers. But are you constantly studying and meditating on God's Word to the point that you sit there and say, I am learning about His new mercies every day, and you know what? God says this in His Word, and this applies to my life right now, and this can help me. I guarantee you that if you're in the God-glorifying business, if you're willing to battle for Him, and you're willing to seek those biblical answers, you are going to be unstoppable. He is going to come, and He is going to want to use you as a vessel of righteousness. He's going to want to use you for His purpose. So get ready, because life is going to get very exciting for you in different ways. What are some practical things that will help me or help you with self-control? Can I just tell you, probably filled in your blank on this one already, pray without ceasing, right? I can't tell you how important it is enough, because guess what happens when we don't control our life most of the time? The natural reaction is to do what? Complain. Right? It's so-and-so's fault. Right? I always tell people this. You want to control? Do you want to complain to anybody? I said, go to God and complain to Him. He wants to hear you. Say, hey God, my marriage isn't going well. Hey God, my job isn't going well. Hey God, this situation isn't going well. Take it to Him. Pray to Him without ceasing. Use those trials in your life to draw yourself closer to Him, because that's what He wants. Secondly, realize we have to give an account to God. Not going to go through this very much, but it's the whole point of 1 Peter 4:5. They will give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. How about put good examples around you? Look at people who have very good self-control and say, I need to spend time with them. I need to understand what it is that makes them tick and learn from their example. You know, Timothy had an example of his grandmother and his mother. You know, Romans talks about how men had this great rapport of being having a great example. Find those people in your life. Never stop studying and meditating upon Scripture. I can't tell you how important that is. It is so vitally important. And so, it's one of those moments that I want to come to, and Lord willing, let me tell you something. I got to be honest with you. Self-control, I talked about this much, this vast measure of what self-control is. So let's pray tonight. And Lord willing, it helped you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come to speak to your word, to talk a little bit about self-control, Lord. And I hope that everybody here recognizes that self-control, it is due to you, Lord. Lord, there are a lot of people who sit in their woods and do whatever, and that's not control. Lord, there are a lot of people who don't want anything to do with anybody else. That's not control. Lord, there are people who just let their emotions just flare. That's not control. Lord, control is putting your trust in you. Lord, to have a heart that's changed and wants to seek your righteousness. And Lord, through your word, you show us the constant daily ins and outs of how to control ourselves. So Lord, give us that tonight in your holy precious name.